Thank you, Father, for your life today, God. Amen. We depend on you, Father. 100% absolute total dependence, God. You're the only one that can give us life. The only one that can give us righteousness, God. We don't come to you, Father, because of what we can do for you. We come to you, Father, believing what you have accomplished on our behalf, recognizing and acknowledging that apart from you, Father, we can do absolutely nothing at all. You are our strength, Lord. Teach us to abide in you so that fruit can be borne upon us. In Jesus' name, Lord, we give you the glory and the praise. Hallelujah. This week, beloved, I'm focusing and praying and seeking the Lord on how to share the message of the cross to help us and minister to us on the wisdom of sharing the true message of the cross. How do I share the cross with somebody else? One of the major, major things we need to see is that anytime we share the true message of the cross, it will be done in weakness, not in strength. It will be done in brokenness, not in confidence. It's whenever we share the true message of the cross, if we understand it, we will always do so in weakness. We will always do so acknowledging what we are and why we had to die. There's a huge difference in sharing the true message of the cross after it has been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit and sharing Christian religion. There's a huge, massive difference. I remember hearing and saying, if you died tonight, do you know if you'd go to heaven or hell? Have you accepted Jesus in your heart? And all those things, it was like a confrontation. You know, it's like I was going to somebody and I was just confronting them with, have you done what you need to do to secure your salvation? Have you said this prayer? You know, are you ready to meet the Lord? And it just, you know, that's just not sharing the message of the cross. It's not at all sharing the message of the cross. Whenever we really understand it, we'll, as Paul, we will approach people in fear and in trembling. When Paul went to the church in Galatia, interesting, he said, the reason that I preached the gospel to you at first, when I first preached the gospel to you, is due to an infirmity in my flesh. He actually used something that he was going through in the flesh to declare the gospel. He didn't preach the gospel because of a victory he had just obtained. He didn't preach the gospel because he was confident and bold and strong. No, he preached the gospel because he was weak and he was suffering and he was going through difficulties in the flesh. And because of that, he was able to preach the gospel. Praise God. I think of Romans because there's no better book that just lays out the gospel of the cross. And it begins by describing mankind's iniquity. All of us. He says they and them, but Paul's not talking about a certain group of people. He's talking about all of mankind. The reason he says they is he's speaking from a born-again perspective that now we have the life of Jesus. So he's talking about Adam. He's not talking about a group of Adam. He's talking about all of Adam. And he lists all the how Adam is full of iniquity and trades even his lust, you know, men after men lusting, women lusting after women. And people use that scripture to condemn homosexuals. But what God is actually dealing with is simply the condition of mankind. It's why the wrath of God will come upon man. He lists all kinds of things as evidence of their iniquity. That's just one of the things that he mentions. And he's not talking about a group of people. He's not talking about the group of bad people. He's talking about the whole race of Adam, mankind. And then chapter 2 there, Romans 2, he says, and you who judge people for doing these things that he just mentioned, and you do the same thing. You know, he said, you do the same thing. And he goes into the book of Romans telling us, why we had to die, telling us we were crucified with Jesus, explaining that the law came, all the commands of God came to arouse our sinful passion, expose our iniquity, and show us our need for Jesus, our need for a new life, because the one we have is corrupt. He says, there are none, as it is written, there are none, none. He wasn't talking about those unrighteous people aren't like us righteous people. It's there are none righteous and there are none that do good. And so before the greatest book in the Bible on salvation preaches the gospel of the cross, it starts by acknowledging that all of us are wicked. None of us do good. None of us. If I truly understand the message of the cross, I'll never approach somebody with self-confidence. I'll never approach somebody in some kind of boldness that, man, you just need to go to church, you need to get right with God. What is that? That's not the message of the cross. I will approach somebody and tell them that we are all weak and we are all wicked and we are all evil. And this is why we had to die. And I will use my own weakness. I will use my own infirmity. I will use my own struggle to share with them why I needed to die. I'm exposing the life of Adam because I have it. If I'm going to tell somebody about the cross, I'm not going to tell them they need to get right. I'm going to tell them that we all had to die. This is what the cross is about. And the more I've lived and tried to serve God and tried to do it, the more I found out why I had to die. And the more I've seen how even our best effort is not pure, it's not holy. And through my own experience, my own testimony of my own weakness, my own failure, my own inability to produce God's righteousness, I can share the message of the cross. Beloved, this is why we had to die. When I really began to understand the cross, oh my goodness, witnessing is amazing. It's never, ever, ever, you need to be like me. God have mercy. No, it's always how God has shown me that I can't produce it and that everything I do is corrupt. And this is why I had to die. And this is why I did die. And that gets their attention because you're not telling them that they need to be good. You need to be good. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to, go to church, pay your tithe, repent of your sin, and all that kind of stuff is taken out of context, and people make it carnal. They make it natural, as if salvation means stop sinning for God. That is complete nonsense. There's nothing in the Word of God like that. That is not how you're saved. When Peter said to repent, he said, metanoeo, perceive everything differently. He was talking about because of the cross of Calvary. Repent and be baptized. What is baptism? Identification with the death and the burial and the resurrection for the remission of sins. Peter didn't say repent of your sins so you can be saved. He didn't say, he said repent and be baptized. Repentance is genuinely perceiving the truth through the cross and what Jesus did, and then identifying with it. And if you'll do that, then sin will be forgiven and removed from you. That's what he was saying. He wasn't saying stop sinning for God. Now, obviously, if we keep sinning, we'll deeply suffer. But if we believe what he accomplished and confess what he accomplished, there's power and dominion over sin that we can lay hold of. So, yes, the gospel gives us victory over sin, but the gospel is not stop sinning for God. The gospel is that God has crucified sin for you, that he took you to that cross. And the only way you'll experience the power of that is to believe what he did. But the only way you can believe what he did is for the Holy Spirit to help you and to reveal it to your heart. He has to show you what Jesus actually did and why he had to do it. And if you'll believe and you'll confess what he's accomplished, You'll begin to experience the power of it. Oh my goodness. I remember sharing with a lady the gospel, and I said, do you know Jesus said, you either hate God or you hate money? That's exactly what he said. He said, you can't serve two masters. You will hate one and you will love the other. There is no gray area. He said, you can't serve God and mammon. Now, mammon is self-gain, money, wealth, whatever you want to call it. You can't serve both of them. You will love one and you will hate the other. And I was sharing this with her and I said, God asked me, which one do you hate? Now, this is after I'd been in ministry for 20 years. Which one do you hate? Do you hate God or do you hate money? And I said, neither one. And he said, wrong answer. That's not true, because what Jesus said is true. You will hate one and you will love the other. And so I didn't realize that the fact that I didn't hate the monetary system, that I didn't hate self-gain, was evidence that I hated God according to Jesus. And I said, this was shocking to me because I thought I loved God. I tried to serve God. I tried to do what God wanted me to do. And I talked to her about Paul. You know, he did everything he knew to do to serve God and to do what God wanted him to do. But he didn't even really know the Lord. He didn't know the truth. He didn't understand that everything he did was corrupt because we are fallen. And this is why the Lord had to take us to the cross. And this is why we had to die. And if we don't hate our own life, if we don't reject it, we can't have his. And man, this lady said, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Why, nobody had ever told her that. Of course people told her you need to receive Jesus in your heart. Of course people told her you need to go to church. But nobody ever really told her the true message of the cross, because most people just, they don't know it. I'm not saying that in a judgmental way. It's just a fact. We just don't really know it. It's spiritually discerned. It's revealed by the Holy Spirit. And it's only revealed when we seek him, when we really pursue him, and we want to know the truth. Jesus said, if you'll continue in my word, you will know the truth, and it will make you free. So, beloved, if we ever are going to share the message of the true cross, it's going to be through our brokenness. Paul said, I glory in my weaknesses, that the power, that the glory of God might rest upon me. I don't glory in my strength. Paul did not share the cross by telling people how strong he was, how bold he was. It's amazing because today, if you think about it, how often, especially in the charismatic movement and in other movements, Baptist, whatever, in other movements, the preachers are so bold, even arrogant, so bold and cocky and confident, you know, and it's not the real message of the cross, or they would be glorying in their weakness. Paul understood it. He understood it. God allowed a demon, a principality to be assigned to him, to buffet him and hit him all the time. And he begged God, please take this thing from me. And God said, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul learned that it was our weakness that exposes his strength. And so when Paul would share the gospel, friend, he would do it in weakness and fear and trembling. He would expose his weakness. He would expose his failure. He would expose his shortcoming. He would expose the infirmity in his flesh and what he was going through to be able to share with people why we needed to die and what he did at the cross. And so when people were listening to him, they weren't listening to somebody telling them that they need to be good, that they need to do this and they need to do that. They were hearing the true message of the cross. And man, when they heard that, it was confrontational, but it was confrontational to their spirit. They had to acknowledge, is my life corrupt? Is it true that everything I do is tainted? Is that true? That there's nothing in me that's good? If I don't eat of Jesus, that I'm going to be lost forever? That's a confrontation. But it's not somebody saying, did you say this prayer? Do you go to church? Do you do this? Do you do that? You just need to get right with it. What does it mean to get right with God, by the way? People say you need to get right with God. Most people that say that are saying that in pride and confidence and boldness. Well, you just need to get right with God, brother. You just need to get right with God, sister. You know, just the fact that they say it like that is proof they're not even right with God. This is why Jesus had a very difficult time with the Pharisee, Sadducee, teacher of the law, scribe. Why? Because they were preaching you need to get right with God, and they weren't right with God. They didn't understand the truth. They didn't know that they were just as much an adulterer as the ones they were preaching to. They were just as much a murderer as the ones they were preaching to. They didn't understand it. They didn't realize they had to die. And they didn't hate their own life. They loved their own life. They didn't hate money. They loved money. That's why when Jesus said, you either hate God or hate money, the Bible said the Pharisees were standing there who loved money. And they began to mock him and began to ridicule the things he was saying. And Jesus looks at him and says, you give a pretense before men, but God knows your heart. God knows what's on the inside of you. Oh, goodness, God help us. So the message of the cross is always going to be shared with a revelation of why we had to die. The cross, friend, is not the message that God loves us so much and he's got a plan for our life. Whenever that's what we think the message of the cross is, we're not going to share that in some kind of brokenness. You know, if we've become religious and we're doing better now, we're going to share that in confidence, even pride. You know, man, you got to get right with God. Amen. God loves you. He loves you so much. He's got a plan for your life. But that's not the gospel of the cross. The good news of the cross is God loves you so much that he put an end to your life because it's your worst enemy, not the devil. You are your worst enemy, not the devil. your sin, you know, what you are. You're the one that will keep you from heaven, not Satan. You're the one that will keep you from the life of God, because if you love your life, you're going to lose it. If you don't recognize what it really is, if you don't see it, how corrupt it is, and allow God to show it to you. You're a thief, friend. All of us are. You're a murderer. All of us are. You're an adulterer. All of us are. You're a bearer of false witness. All of us are. Friend, God's not sending us into the world to teach people how to be good people. He's sending us into the world to tell people why we had to die and to believe on the one that he sent. And the more we get it and the more we understand it, the more we are able to share the message in brokenness and humility. And we're able to share the message through our own weakness, through our own need for the cross. That's why, by the grace of God, when I share the cross with somebody, friend, I expose my own weakness. I expose my own failure. I expose my own lack of true righteousness and all that I've did. And thank God I did quite a bit, because it gives me grace to be able to share the truth. I did quite a bit. You know, 19 years, I was praying 5 hours a day when I was 19 years old, fasting at least 2 days a week. Sound just like a Pharisee. I was memorizing all kinds of scripture. I didn't think I was anything like a Pharisee. I had no idea. Pharisees are just religious people that are trying to do what God wants them to do. Praise God. They fast and they pray and they seek God and they go to church and they pay their tithes. That's a Pharisee. Amen. That's what they are. And that's what I was, and I was talking about those Pharisees when I was really one myself. I didn't know it, because I only saw the couple scriptures. Oh, well, they do it so men would see. Friend, this is what all of us do. It's what's in the natural life of Adam. Of course we want people to see we're spiritual. Of course we want people to honor us and respect us. It's part of our life. We don't want to give ourselves up. We don't go after God because we don't want to be seen. We don't ever want to be in the public light. We don't ever want to be used. No, we want God to use us. We want to be special. We want God to make us spiritual. That's what's wrong with our life. We're not selfless. We're selfish. And so, friend, I didn't come to God because I hated my life. I came to God because I wanted a blessed life. I wanted a better life. And all those things I can use now to help people and understand. Listen, I pastored churches for 15 years. And I didn't even realize most of the time I was pastoring, I didn't even realize why I had to die and why I did die. I preached a lot of things like that, but I didn't really get it. I thought I was better than most people. I wouldn't have said that. I would have confessed the right thing, but I really didn't get it. I really didn't fully grasp the true message of the cross. But I can see how everything I did was tainted. My best efforts were tainted. I can look back and I just shake my head. I thought I was doing amazing. I thought I was doing everything pretty much right. I'm sure I thought I might not be doing it perfect, but I'm doing my best. And I thought I was doing it close to perfect. I wasn't doing anything right. When I really begin to understand true righteousness, when I really begin to grasp the righteousness of Jesus Christ, friend, I wasn't even close. I wasn't even close. And still, I'm not even close. Every day, I have to wake up and take up my cross. Take up my cross and understand why I had to die and believe in this life of Jesus and look to the Father that this life would manifest. Look to the Holy Spirit to help me to continue to understand the truth so that I can reject my own life, believe in His, confess what He accomplished until I really see the power of it manifesting. Friend, if Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free, friend. Not your effort, not your fasting, not your praying, not your going to church, not your tithe. The truth. Now, fasting and praying, all those kinds of things are important because we're seeking the truth. We need to hear it. And sometimes our flesh is so strong, we just got to shut it up. Praise God. But it doesn't make us righteous. It doesn't mean our fasting is righteous. It doesn't mean any of the stuff we're doing is righteous. The only true righteousness is Jesus. It's His life. And all the things we do are just to find it, to understand it, to believe in it. Praise God. Because He is the righteousness of God. Amen. And so the more we understand the true message of the cross, the more we will share it in a brokenness and in a humility. And you'll see when that happens, it's much, much more effective. It's much more effective. You're not telling somebody what they need to do. It's like parents tell kids what they need to do. You know what that produces? We still need to do it. I'm not saying we shouldn't. But the Bible said the law arouses sinful passions. When you tell somebody what they need to do and what they're not supposed to do, it just makes them, just puts them in deeper bondage. They can't get out of it because now they have this condemnation that you're putting on them. And it just makes the sin stronger. The Bible said the power, the strength of sin is the law. What an amazing scripture. That's 1 Corinthians 15, close to the end of that chapter there. The strength of sin is the law. That's what gives sin its power, friend. It's what gives sin its strength. The commandment is what gives sin its power. My goodness, that's amazing. So when you tell somebody what they need to do and what they need to stop doing, all you do is strengthen their sin. You strengthen their iniquity. You're trying and you're trying to get them to get religious. You're trying to get them to not go to hell by doing good. And actually what you're doing is you're strengthening the iniquity that's in them. The only thing that can deliver them from true iniquity, they might get, you might even convert some religious people. Jesus said the Pharisees, they travel the seas. Friend, they're missionaries. They spend their money. They spend their time. And when they convert somebody, they make them twice the son of hell. I used to think he was talking about those people. Friend, that's talking about us. When you convert somebody to religion and now they're proud and they think they're doing good and they want to tell everybody else what they need to do, those are sons of hell, friend, not sons of the kingdom. The son of the kingdom is humble and broken, and through their weakness, they share why we all had to die and why we need this life of Jesus Christ. Radically different than almost any Christian sect in the whole world. It's radically, radically different. Praise God. Oh, Lord, help us in Jesus' name to share the true message of the cross. But first, we have to know it. The Holy Spirit's here. That's what He came for. I'll close with that. The Holy Spirit, I've said many times, but it's true. I believe in speaking in tongues and prophesying and healing. I believe all those things are true. But the Holy Spirit didn't come for that at all. Jesus didn't mention any of that. He said the Spirit of truth will come. And he will lead. There are several things Jesus said he would do. He'll comfort you. You're going to need a lot of that, praise God. But he will, the Spirit of truth will lead you into all of the truth. That's what he's going to come and do. He's going to lead you into the truth, the real truth. It's amazing. Friend, I'll close with this testimony. When I really began to understand the gospel, I've done prison and jail ministry since 1993. First, I went into the detention center and started going into the main jail in Pensacola in 1993 and has been doing it ever since then. But over the last 5 or 6 years, I've really understood this message of the cross. And it's amazing what happens when I go in the prison. About 4 or 5 years ago, a chaplain kept trying to get me to go in one of the local prisons here. And I was pastoring and I was trying to get my other, church people to do it because I said, I've got enough to do. But I finally went in. It was a little Bible study of just, I don't know, maybe 15 guys. And man, I started really sharing the message of the cross. I didn't go in there preaching to those guys that they need to receive Jesus in their heart. I started telling them why we had to die. And I started exposing the fact that even the pastors and the religious people are not any different than they are. Friend, their ears perked up. They started listening and understanding why their life is corrupt, why they had to die. And when they began it, my goodness, God just started moving. Went from 15 guys all the way to 200. They kept having to move us all over the place. Revival in the prison. This is not the weekend service. It's not the Sunday service when everybody's free. This is in the middle of the day on Tuesday when they have all the classes and all the stuff going on. And all these people wanted to come to church. They'd never seen anything like that before, ever. They didn't even know what to do with it. They didn't have any guards to oversee it. I had 200 guys in a room, sometimes with nobody, just me. There wasn't even guards, and they're like, they didn't know what to do, but God was moving. God was moving. And it's been closed since COVID. God help us get back in there. But what the difference was, and every single one of them, still there's guys getting out and contacting me all the time. And they say, man, I've never heard anything like that. And friend, they hear all kinds of ministry. That's all they do is listen. They have tons of ministers come through there all the time. Many of them been there for 30 years. They've heard thousands of different ministries, thousands of different gospels preached. And they all say the same thing. I've never really heard this message preached. I've never really heard what you're saying. I've never really understood the cross. The true message of the cross, friend. Oh my goodness. It's amazing. And those who don't have a life to live for are wide open to hate their life, wide open to believe in the life of Jesus. Praise God. It's those who have a good life, who have things going well for them. The religious people don't want to hear this message. I guarantee it. They don't want to hear it. Friend, most of them, they do not want to hear what I'm talking about. They don't want to hear the true message of the cross. They want to hold on to their counterfeit. Why? Because their counterfeit doesn't make them hate their life. It doesn't make them give it up. Their counterfeit tells them God's here to bless your life. Amen. And if you'll be good and pay your tithe and don't cuss, every now and then you might be able to cuss a little bit, but God will forgive you. Don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and do this and do that and do this, and then you're going to go to heaven. But make sure you pray this prayer and invite Jesus in your heart. It's not the message of the cross. It's not the message of the cross at all. It's not a revelation of why we had to die and why we have to hate our life and why we have to believe in this life of the last Adam. Oh, beloved, God bless you. May the Lord give you grace to hear his voice and understand what the Holy Spirit teaches you about the cross. May it become so real in your spirit that you're able to share with people in brokenness and weakness and humility. And you glory in your weakness. You expose why you needed to die so they can understand why they needed to die. In Jesus' name. And then you show them that they did die. And that the only way we can be saved is to believe in this life of the last Adam and to reject our own. Oh my goodness. That's when they got to count the cost. That's when they got to count the cost. And friend, most people don't want to pay it, especially the religious ones. That's why they didn't like Jesus, because the true message of the cross is radically different than any religion, any religious people or any religion, including Christianity as a religion. It's radically different than anybody teaches. Only those born of the Spirit who really understand the cross can share it with other people. That's why the Bible said, how can they believe if nobody tells them? And how can somebody tell them if they're not sent? And that word sent is apostle. How can they hear? The apostle Paul was taken up into heaven, friend. That's how he got it. God showed him the true message of the cross, and he began to share it with other people, but people didn't understand it. The natural man can't discern it. It's so simple, but the natural man can't discern it. So may God give us grace to hear the true message and to be able to share it with others in Jesus' name. God bless you today. Amen.